But this morning, we're going to be in John chapter number 8, and just looking at three verses together and understanding this concept. The key is consistency. Now, our world recognizes the importance of consistency. Athletes who can consistently perform are ridiculously compensated. On a more relatable level, employers demand it. Now, I don't know if many of us would have an employer that wouldn't mind if we were inconsistent in our attendance. You're supposed to work Monday through Friday, and you showed up 3 of the 5 thinking you're doing pretty good. I think your employer would have a different take on that. Employers demand consistency. Employees demand consistency. I don't know many of us who would settle for getting paid every other pay period. Employees demand consistency. We demand it from doctors and medicines. Imagine if we had, for instance, an acceptable rate of 1 out of every 100 pills that comes off the line is going to be obviously and ridiculously out of whack. We would not accept that. We understand in our world, in our culture, the importance of consistency. And consistency is simply this. Webster defines it as holding together, being firm or coherent, agreeing. Something that's in harmony, in accord, compatible, holding to principles or practice. And you know, when I think of the word consistency, I think of some of those words. I think of practice. I think of continuing. I think of perseverance. I think of determination. A word that we use a lot around here, I think of faithfulness. Now, to start this year, we have taken a look at several very foundational, fundamental spiritual truths. And faithfulness is one of those. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we love John 8:32. The Bible says this in John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I tell you, who here doesn't want to be free this morning? Who doesn't want to have freedom over some bondage or some sin, some struggle in our lives? Who doesn't want to have freedom to be able to be able to go and do, freedom to live for God, freedom to do right? Who doesn't want to have the freedom and liberty to be the right kind of husband and right kind of wife and right kind of child and raiser? Who doesn't want to be free? Hey, we all want to be free. But the product of freedom doesn't stand in isolation. Because you see, you can't get to verse 32 without going through verse 31, where Jesus said, "If ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." Everyone wants the product. But the call this morning, the truth this morning, is that the key to the product is the process. And if we want to get to verse 32, and we want to know God's power, and we want to know God's liberty, and we want to know God's freedom in our lives, then we have got to know the key. And that key is a call to be consistent. It is a call to be faithful. You know, the Bible is consistent with its calls for our consistency. Jesus in John 15 and verse 9 called us to do this. "And as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue, be consistent, be faithful in my love." In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 14, the Bible says this, "But continue, be faithful, be consistent in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, the Bible says this, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Growing is a process that demands consistency. A verse that we know all too well, and it's a verse that ought to be a foundational part of our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards or managers that a man be found faithful. And so this morning, we are going to look at just a simple idea that the key is consistency. The key is faithfulness. We're going to find that this is what separates the victors from the victims. This is what separates the winners from the wannabes. The key is consistency. Look with me at verse number 30 as we start to study this morning. The Bible says this, "And as he spake these words, many believed on him." Here we have kind of an introductory thought to the teaching that Jesus is about to give, but we can't overlook the truth here. "And as he spake these words, many believed on him." As we understand consistency this morning, understand number one, that consistency starts with a decision. It starts with a decision. We see here the decision of faith. That as he spoke, and as he taught, many people made the decision to believe on him. Believe. Believe. You know, that is a conscious, personal decision to put one's faith in Jesus Christ. And beloved, that is what is necessary for salvation. For a relationship with God. In order to have a home in heaven, to have your sins forgiven, what is necessary for salvation is that we make a personal, conscious decision to put our faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation doesn't come as a birthright. It doesn't become because your grandpa was a preacher, because your grandma prayed for you every day. It doesn't come because your family's always been Christian. It doesn't come because you've been baptized. It doesn't come because you've been catechized or confirmed. It doesn't come because you've joined a church. Salvation comes when you believe. When you make that decision for yourself to turn from your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ alone. You know, as Jesus taught us in John chapter 8, he made it very clear who he was. John chapter 8 and verse number 12, Jesus said this about himself. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Look over, if you would, in verse number 51 of the same chapter. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death." Look a little further in the chapter, if you would, at verse number 58. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Now, for those of you who know the Bible or have had some experience in church, you will recognize that phrase, "I am." When Jehovah God met Moses back in Exodus on the backside of the wilderness, and Moses said, "Who should I say that you are? Who should I say sent me?" God told Moses, "Tell them, I am that I am sent you." And so in John chapter 8, Jesus proclaims himself the light of the world. He proclaims himself the light or the life eternal. He proclaims himself God. Jehovah God of Old Testament fame. Jesus Christ unequivocally stated to these people that he is God. He is God. And I'm going to tell you, church, understand this morning. You're here this morning and maybe you've never made a decision to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I want you to understand this morning that Jesus Christ wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a moral teacher. He wasn't just somebody that had some tricks up his sleeve and was really charismatic and got a lot of people to follow him. He is God. He's God. He is God. With us, Emmanuel, we celebrated at Christmas time. He is God come to die for us, our Savior who died and rose again. And the truth is this morning, every single one of us have to come to a personal decision regarding Jesus Christ. But if I could admonish you this morning in one way, it would be this. You had better figure out where you stand with God before you stand before Him. Because the Bible is very clear. And the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9 and verse number 27, that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And ladies and gentlemen, the truth is none of us know when our appointment is. We had better figure out where we stand with God before we stand before Him. And I have found that there are a lot of people out there who are really fuzzy on what it means to be saved, who are really fuzzy. You know, talk to one person one time and, oh yeah, I made that, I did that. Well, what happened? Well, I came to church because I was told that I couldn't date so-and-so unless I came to church. And so-and-so told me, if you want to date me, you better go forward and pray. And so I did. Can I tell you? If your salvation testimony is you went forward just so you could date a girl, it doesn't sound like you understand what salvation is all about. If you're going to heaven this morning because you think you've been baptized, if you think you're going to heaven because you're a good person, if you think you're going to heaven because you've had a religious experience, can I tell you the Bible is very clear on how it is that we as sinful men can live with a holy God forever. And that is only by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. It's not by speaking in tongues, and it's not by baptism, and it's not by coming forward and praying a prayer. It's about making a personal decision, the decision of faith to follow Him. The key is consistency, but it's got to have a start. And it starts with a decision to believe. To believe. And so as we consider this belief this morning, might I challenge you to begin. Make your decision today. Because there is no such thing as indecision when it comes to Jesus. We're admonished in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 15. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2, the Bible says this, for He saith, I have heard thee, and in an accepted time, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There is no such thing as indecision when it comes to Jesus Christ. And the glorious thing about this decision is this. Belief is just the beginning. Belief is just a beginning. When you and I make a decision to put our faith in Jesus Christ, our eternity is settled. But our everyday life of faith has just begun. You know, in the early church, we see some very vivid illustrations of this as Paul and his other missionary friends went around and ministered and won people to Christ. In Acts chapter 13 and verse number 43, we find this. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Paul had been preaching and many people had trusted Christ. Many people had heard the good news that Jesus, God, had come and died for their sins. And the Bible says that having accepted Christ, Paul turned to them and admonished them to continue in the grace of God. One chapter over, as Paul and his crew finished their journey, we see in chapter 14, verses 21 and 22, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. Those were cities that Paul and his crew had been ministering in. He said, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. That we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. The glorious truth about this, about our faith, is this. It is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. But it begins with a decision of faith. you will never know God's blessing. You will never know God's liberty. You will never know God's purpose and power for your life if you neglect the decision of faith. If you neglect to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The key to consistency, the key is consistency. And when we talk about consistency, it has got to start with a decision. We see the decision of faith. But look at verse number 31 with me, if you would. The Bible says this, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." And so we see the decision of faith. And I've got to give a disclaimer here this morning. If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, what we talked about in verse number 30, that is for you. And the rest of what I'm going to say doesn't make a lot of sense or doesn't really apply until we get number one settled. But once we have made that decision of faith, understand as we consider the idea of consistency this morning that we see the decision of faith is followed by the duty of faithfulness. The decision of faith is followed by the duty of faithfulness. Jesus said to those Jews that believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." That word, disciple, I love that word. It is a word that in our present culture and in our generation we have used so much that we have very little understanding about what it truly means. To be a disciple was to be a follower. To be a disciple was to be a learner of, an apprentice to. And so as you think about it in that light, for instance, I have a lot of interests. I like sports, but I do not follow sports so closely that I could be said to be an apprentice of anybody in sports. I'm interested in home improvement and figuring out how to do things with my yard so it doesn't look so bad. But while I have interest there, I am not following somebody so closely that I could be said to be an apprentice to them. We have confused this idea of discipleship with interest. We have confused this idea of following with being a fan of. We're not called to be a fan of Jesus. We're called to follow him. We're not called to simply be interested or present. We are called to push and to follow after him. Don't miss the distinction between somebody who has made a decision, those Jews that have believed on him, and someone who is a disciple. A decision does not always equal a disciple. A decision requires faith. A disciple, faithfulness. And I'll tell you, the New Testament never uses this term disciple loosely. In fact, Jesus defined it very clearly for us over in the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, chapter number 14 and verse 26, Jesus said this, "If any man come after me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now don't be alarmed. That word hate simply means it's a word of comparison. Not that we loathe our fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, wives, children, ourselves, but that we love Jesus so much more that there's no comparison. Jesus said in Matthew, in a similar vein, that if we love any of these more than him, that we're not worthy of him. But Jesus here clearly stated that if you're going to follow me, if you're going to be my disciple, you have got to have right priorities. There can't be anything between me and you. Look with me a little further at verse 27 of Luke chapter 14. Jesus says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Jesus said, not only do you have to have the right priorities, but you have to be willing to pay the price and take up your cross. Verse 33 at the end of Luke chapter 14, Jesus sums it up this way. He says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Boy, when you apply Jesus' definition to what a disciple is, there are very few true disciples of Jesus Christ in this world. And I've got to be honest in how my own life lacks compared to what Jesus calls us to. But you know what discipleship is? It's an issue of identity. It's a spiritual identity. Who are you? When you wake up in the morning, who are you? You know, one of the things that I got for either Christmas or my birthday this past December was I got one of those DNA kit mabobbers. I logged on and I made my account this week, so I'm ready to spit in my cup and send it in. It's going to be great. I just can't drink coffee for like 30 minutes before I spit, so I haven't been able to do it yet because I'm constantly nursing a cup of coffee. But at any rate, I signed up and I got all excited because they're like, "Do you want us, if we match you to other people, do you want us to make your profiles visible to one another?" I said, "Absolutely." And this giant warning came up that said, "You may discover things about yourself or your family that you didn't want to know. Are you sure you want to do this?" I said, "Absolutely." They said, "Well, what do you want them to be able to see?" I said, "Everything. Let them see everything. I'm just curious." But you know what? You see those commercials for those little things. And, you know, the Irish guy thought he was this and thought he was that. And I found out that I'm so much this and so much that. And people talk about finding their identity, who they really are, where their roots come. As a Christian, our identity is not found in where we come from, but where we're going to. I'm going to tell you, discipleship is an identity. Stewardship or management, the call to faithfulness is an identity. So that when I wake up in the morning, I'm not a husband or a father first. I'm not a pastor first. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ first. And you're not a factory worker or an office worker. You're not a mom. You're not a grandma. You're not a teacher. You're not a truck driver. You're not any of that first. You are a disciple first. And so you know what? Every interaction I have, I know that first and foremost, it's about bringing God glory. Every paycheck I receive, I know that first and foremost, it's all about God. Every breath I have, it's all about identity. And you see, the duty of faithfulness, it boils down to our identity. And you will never develop faithful consistency until you have decisively dealt with who you are in relation to Jesus Christ. And who Jesus Christ is to you. Can I tell you this? He needs to be Lord. Lord of all. And it makes a difference. You think about this. You think about Peter and the other disciples. In the Gospels, what do you see of Peter? Buddy Peter's up like a rocket, down like a meteorite. Peter in the same night said, "Lord, if I have to die with you, I'll never deny you. I'll never run." And before the night was over, he had run and denied him thrice. Up like a rocket, down like... In one moment, he was saying, "Thou art the Christ." And the next moment, Jesus had to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things of God." But what changed in Peter's life when Peter realized that Jesus Christ was, after the crucifixion and the resurrection, that he was the resurrected, that he was the living Lord of all creation. When Peter got it settled, it changed everything. And the same guy that said, I know not the man, the same guy that Jesus had to say, get thee behind me, Satan, too, stood in front of a hostile crowd at Pentecost. And the Bible says thousands came to know Christ, stood in front of magistrates and religious leaders and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The man got it settled when he settled who Jesus was. It's a spiritual identity. And when you settle who or what you are, and who or what you are following after, you will fix your focus and find your faithfulness. When you settle who or what you're really following after, you will fix your focus and settle your faithfulness. And it really is simple, because it is just a matter of surrender. You know what? If money is what matters, and money is what matters to a lot of people, then they're going to do whatever, they're going to surrender whatever it takes, do whatever it costs to get money. You know, there are some people to whom relationships are all that matter, and they're willing to surrender or do whatever it takes just to keep a relationship. I'm going to tell you, when God is all that matters, when God is Lord, when Jesus is Lord, it really is as simple as surrender. You know, we talk about this. We preached a couple Wednesday nights ago about just keeping it simple. And that is loving the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and all our strength. And that's what it's all about. That this year is going to be our life, is going to be our love letter to God this year. Loving Him with all we are. And when it all boils down to this, how can I in this situation, how can I in this conversation, how can I in this circumstance, how can I love God? When it all boils down to that, it really is simple. I had somebody tell me after the service, something along the lines of, it was a good thought if only it were that easy. And there's the distinction. Simple isn't always easy. You know, if you'll stop and think for 30 seconds, if Jesus is Lord of everything you are, and you present any situation to that truth, the decision is pretty simple. But it's not always easy. Because discipleship, Jesus said, will cost you everything. It's a spiritual identity that comes with a specific intensity. Jesus said, if ye continue in my word. To continue means to abide or to hold continually, to endure. There is not just durability here. There is directionality. We are to continue in His Word, to read it, to meditate or mull over it, to apply it. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't continue in it. You can't walk in it if you're not in it every day. Every day. The truth is, success one day does not guarantee success the next. You can make a decision this morning. You could give something to God this morning. You could get something right this morning. You could do business. And just because you have success today doesn't guarantee you success tomorrow. But the tremendous truth of this passage and the duty to faithfulness is this. God is not looking for quarter milers, but marathoners. God's not looking for Christianity that can be popped in the microwave in 30 seconds or less. God is looking for faithfulness. And you know, one of the ways that we can do this and accomplish this specific intensity, is to exercise ourselves to godliness. You know, some of you think, preacher, I have not missed a Sunday yet this year. That's awesome. We got two down. There'll be cookies and little halos for everybody that meets that description at the Welcome Center. I'm glad you got two. What about three? Where are you going to be next Sunday? Where are you going to be tonight? You know, I've read my... Ladies and gentlemen, It is that directionality. Where are we going? God demands our desperate dependence upon Him, because without Him, we can do nothing. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, Jesus said this. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." And so the duty of our faithfulness, it's a call. I'm glad you're in church this morning, but be in church next week. I'm glad you read your Bible, but read it tomorrow. I'm glad you prayed, but pray tomorrow. Keep on, keeping on, keeping on, keeping on, keeping on. It's about your identity. It's about that specific intensity. The decision of faith leads us to the duty of faithfulness, which results in the display of fruitfulness. Look at verse number 32. The Bible says this, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And this is the thought that we have got to get down this morning. Understand that what Jesus gives us here is a reliable process. There is a definite progression that takes place. Real faith always leads to faithfulness. What did James say about faith? That faith without works is dead. Real faith always leads to faithfulness. And real faithfulness always leads to fruitfulness. It is a process. It is a day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Understand, in the Christian life, time is an ally to the process. You know, it's like farming. We consider fruitfulness. It's like farming. The farmers plant, and they do not plant, and the next day go out and wonder where the harvest is. I can remember the first time we did a garden at the house. The kids struggled with that concept. Where are the peppers? Where are the cucumbers? Where's the zucchini? And day after day, they would go and look, and they would analyze, and they would see the little flowers, and then they would see the little fruit begin to go. And so as soon as they saw fruit, they would pick it. We struggled with that one, didn't we, for a little while? But you know, when it comes to farming and it comes to fruit, time is an ally. You give it time, you give it sun, you give it water, you give it nutrients. And you know what happens? The process works. The plants grow and the plants produce, and there is a harvest to be shared. What Jesus gives us here is a reliable process. Christianity, discipleship, following Jesus Christ does not fail. It doesn't fail. Our consistency fails. Our commitment fails. But God does not. And I'll tell you, we live in an age of convenience, and convenience can be a tremendous enemy of consistency. And we have all sorts of avenues and all sorts of ways that we can be removed from that which really matters. Can I tell you, I'm glad we have the radio. And I praise the Lord for the people listening to the radio this morning. I'm glad we have the Facebook thingy that we're doing now. I praise the Lord for the people watching by Facebook, even as we're here this morning. But can I tell you, the radio and Facebook is a poor substitute for church if you can be here. The problem is convenience can be the great enemy of consistency. God does not fail. This morning you can trust God. This morning you can trust His Word. This morning you can trust His process. And sometimes things don't seem to work. And sometimes we stare at the stinking tomato plant and wonder where they are. We're looking for the squash and the cucumber. We're looking for the things that we want, and we don't see it coming and we don't see it happening. But I'm going to tell you, stick with it. Stay by the stuff. Continue in His Word, because He does not fail. He cannot fail. And His reliable process will always yield a resounding product. Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Knowing is the idea of being grounded, or there is a grounding that's taking place. The truth and freedom is the growing that results. We talked about that we cannot have the product without the process. And so if we want the product, when your toe hurts, be faithful. When you're tired, be faithful. When so-and-so doesn't shake your hand, be faithful. When you get the diagnosis, be faithful. When you lose your job, be faithful. When your friends suffer, be faithful. When you suffer, be faithful. Just be faithful. And there is spiritual power. There's spiritual power for me. But there is also something precious to pass on. You see, my consistency today, who I follow, affects those who follow me. Decisions today affect generations of tomorrow. In 1 Timothy chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 13, the Bible says this: "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given to thee by the prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them." Do you see the consistency that's being taught here? To read, to not neglect, to meditate, to give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and thy doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing so, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Jehovah put before the people of Israel a decision in Deuteronomy chapter 13. Moses called the congregations together and said, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." The decisions that we make today affect the generations that follow. And it's about spiritual power. It's about the liberty. It's about the freedom. But it's also about something precious to pass on. And the great truth is that someone is watching everyone. I don't care who you are this morning, somebody's watching you. And I'm going to tell you, daddies, we need to have a consistent walk that shows our children that it's more important to be at church on time than it is to be at soccer practice. Daddies and husbands, we need to have the kind of consistency that is a blessing to those who follow after us. Mamas, we need to have the kind of consistency that is a blessing to those that come after us. All of us have someone who is watching us. And the truth is that who we follow and what we follow affects those who follow me. This thing is too important to wing it. And so settle it. Hey, not everybody can teach. Not everybody can preach. Not everybody can sing. Not everybody can give tons of money. Not everybody can go to the uttermost parts of the earth. But everybody can be faithful. God has one standard for us. He has one. What I love about it is it has nothing to do with your capacity. But it has everything to do with your consistency. the beautiful truth this morning is no matter what stage of your Christian life you're in, no matter what you face, you can be faithful because He is. So here it is. The key is consistency. Show up today and the next day and the next day and the next day. Mom and dad, young person, whatever it takes, whatever the cost, no matter what they say, no matter how I feel, it's high time to leave behind every excuse, to take up our cross and to follow the one who never stops short, who never surrenders, who said He would never leave us or forsake us. He came for us. He conquered for us. He died and rose again for us. And you know, now He's calling us. And if you'll allow Him, He will call you to try again, to give again, to breathe again, rejoice again, fight again, rise again. Faith produces, faithfulness produces fruit. And the call this morning is for people who would say, by God's grace, we're not going to give up, we're not going to give in, we're not going to be put up, and we're not going to shut up until He calls us up. Because Jesus said, if ye continue in My words, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. No matter where you are, consistency is the key. Church, I'm not content this year to show up January next year and be in the same place I am. I want to grow. I want to go. I want to see God do something in my life. But if it's going to come to pass, we've got to be consistent. Standing together, Father, we love You.